From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 26th day of October, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University will be here to discuss the profitability, and there is quite a bit of it in the ethanol market. We'll turn to the price of fertilizer again. It's gone up around $270, more than that, in a ton over the last 2 weeks, and Gary Schnitke has delved in one more time to see if it still makes sense to plant corn as compared to soybeans. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn settled at 543.5 today. That was up 5.5 cents. The March contract at 552.25, 5.5 higher. In May, up 5.75 at 556.25. November beans, 3/4 higher at 1238. January, 1247.5, up a half. The bean meal, 30 cents lower. The bean oil futures down 83 cents. And soft red winter wheat down 7.25, settled 7.50. 52.25 in the December. The hard red December at 777.25, down a half cent for the day. Live cattle futures on the afternoon nearby at 131.45, up a buck 92.5. Feeders were $2.25 higher, and lean hogs finished down $1.62.5 for the afternoon. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana now joins us. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us. Looked like it was a good day for corn. Why'd it go up?
Like that. Yeah, well, it wasn't such a good day with, you know, for a lot of the morning. We got a lot of talk about the ideas of greener fuel, the ideas that there might be jet fuel being made out of corn ethanol, and that really sort of sparked the ideas of that we would continue to increase the crush on corn for ethanol and moving along that way, and that pushed us a lot up like that. And so we saw that, and actually that pulled the beans on up a little bit too. Wheat didn't seem to want to make the ride with us, though.
Does that concern you?
Oh, it does, but, I mean, look at the wheat price. It's just awfully darn good. I mean, you know, if we look at all of it like this, if everything moves just to move, that's because of inflation. And you and I have lived through some pretty high inflation times in the past, and we'd really just soon not see hyperinflation.
That's right. So what are producers asking you mostly about when they call at this point? They've had some time out of the field now.
Yeah, I've got some time out of the field, and looks like there'll be a few more days before they can get in the field over here. We had over 3 inches of rain, and it's quite muddy and quite a mess out there as far as the rest. Fact is, a couple of customers called in and said they were putting tracks on the front of their combine today. They'd went and bought a set, so that way. Most of them are, you know, just sort of saying they're looking ahead to November beans, you know, first delivery here at the end of the week, and that, and whether they should just get out of them, take what they've got here, or roll them on into the next month, out into January like that. And we're seeing about half and half of them doing that. Some of them are rolling them on out, and some of them are continuing to just say, hey, I'm going to get out for now and see what things look like after the rain stops.
The market not yet concerned about harvest progress in the United States, I'm assuming.
No, I mean, they're looking what they've seen so far. The yields have been a little better than what they were looking for. They're still hoping that there's the tail end of this to come to market. We're continuing to see very good basis levels for corn and beans, both. That's because the crush has been extremely profitable, and the grind for ethanol has been extremely profitable. And we're watching wherever there's soybean plants or ethanol plants, the basis levels are probably 5 to 10, 15 cents above what they generally are for harvest this time of year.
Is that still a remnant of just using so much of the crop last year?
Well, I think that, number one, everybody was empty when we started this, farmers and elevators alike and processors. And so everybody had room, and I think that we are seeing, number one, we've slowed down harvest a couple times, so it wasn't a big glut all at once. Number two, that they are looking ahead because they do know that farmers have a tendency to, once they put it in their bins at home, it's awfully hard to get it out of there, and they'd rather pay nickel over what they were going to basis now or dime than they would 10 or 20 cents to try to get them to open their bin doors come January.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. It's a Tuesday. That means it's time to take a look at the agricultural energies, ethanol in particular, and we're joined by Dan O'Brien, agricultural economist at Kansas State University Extension. Thank you for being with us today. Every month you prepare some things for myself and the folks there in Kansas as it relates to ethanol. And this month you really start with the base price of crude oil and gasoline and then put that into some kind of perspective. Can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Well, we certainly have an uptrend. Some would call it inflation, some would call it profitability. But CME light, Chicago Mercantile Exchange light crude oil spot price closed up to yesterday, well, it's at 83.76, gasoline price at 244, and those are all in strong uptrends from where they've been, an uptrend basically from all the way back in April, May of last year. There've been some there was a little bit of a downtrend this summer from during June, July, August, but have started back with a strong at least a 45 degree angle going to the higher side. So all that is you know, the futures are indicating strong demand for what oil, gasoline supplies are out there. At the retail side, retail diesel prices as of October 25th, coming out of the U.S. Energy Information Administration, at $3.71 per gallon. Gasoline at 47.6. So almost all states that have any type of that have large urban population centers are all showing pretty high prices. You and I were talking before we came on air. There is one state apparently that still is below $3. What did you say that was, Todd?
That, according to Gas Buddy, is Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. So you know, and why would that be? Well, probably the presence of it's probably a logistical issue in terms of the presence of supplies and processors and all of that. So just interesting as all get out. Ethanol production, based on reports from the industry of a pretty strong profitability, ethanol production doing pretty well. At usage at a rate that would bring us close to corn usage for ethanol plants of about 5.25 to 5.4 billion bushels. And yet the USDA's usage last year for corn for ethanol is 5.032 billion bushels. Here they projected 5.2. And you look at that and you think, well, they're being optimistic. But yet you look at the pace that we've had so far in this marketing year since September 1. And without an adjustment down, we'd be at 5.25 to 5.4. From a Kansas and Illinois corn producer's perspective, that's great news in that the underlying source of demand for corn usage, along with, of course, livestock feeding and exports and wet corn milling, but about a third or so of usage is really doing pretty well. So I guess we have this horse race going on right now in agriculture between the increased price of ethanol on the one hand and decent prices for corn on the other, and the hand-wringing issue of what the increased price of our inputs are for the next year that could affect us in terms of our ability to plant all the acres that we need to meet this pretty good demand. So it's kind of the quandary that we're in.
Is there a difference between ethanol in Illinois at the plant and the price of corn and that in Kansas at the plant?
Well, the latest USDA daily ethanol report as of Monday, October 25th, that I have in hand, showed the top end price in Illinois for corn at the plants, $5.58, and that's above the Kansas top end at $5.43. Illinois had a range of 503 to 558, Kansas 533 to 543. You do see on the distillers grains market that the presence of our livestock feeding sector out here in this western states area has given us a pretty strong dry distillers grains price, $255 a ton, And at Illinois, it's at 195, so still great prices. But having the livestock feeders located a mile outside your door of your plant, it makes a big difference in that market.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He's with Kansas State University Extension. He mentioned, in fact, the price of fertilizer, and I talked to Gary Schnitke earlier today about that. He's written another article for the Farm Doc Daily website, probably up there by now already. This time around, it includes the price of anhydrous ammonia as of today. That's about $270 higher than it was a couple of weeks ago. And at $5 corn and the price of soybeans, I can't remember the price off the top of my head, still, corn was profitable in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, we're now looking at anhydrous ammonia at over $1,100 per ton, according to the Agricultural Marketing Service. And that's about up $278 from 2 weeks ago. So yeah, it's rising fast.
How's that compare to previous moves higher?
So that beats all moves higher. The next biggest change was $178 that happened in December 2008. So that's a while back, and that was on the way down. We were looking at anhydrous ammonia prices over $1,000, and then they began coming down in December.
Why have anhydrous prices moved so high?
Yeah, so there's several reasons. Current spike in prices are likely due to Hurricane Ida's landfall, causing anhydrous ammonia plants in Louisiana and the Delta region to be shut down. So that's leading to supply disruptions. And then natural gas prices and corn prices are increasing, and usually anhydrous ammonia goes up with those two. And there's still the general supply disruptions and other things that are happening as a result of the aftermath of COVID. So all those things are playing into it. The disruptions right now are probably the most important thing for the big spike that we're seeing right now.
Is there a correlation between the price of anhydrous and the other forms of nitrogen?
Yes, there are. If you look at anhydrous ammonia, urea, 28%, they all move up and down together. All of those have a correlation coefficient that's above or near 0.9. 28% and nitrogen are 0.96, or anhydrous ammonia 0.96. That makes sense, though, when you think about it, because anhydrous ammonia is used as the feedstock for producing urea and 28%. So anhydrous ammonia is going up. The other two products will eventually go up as well.
Does this all mean that farmers should maybe adjust their nitrogen rates for corn, or what they think they're going to be putting on for corn this fall and next spring for those acres?
Yeah, so if you look at the corn nitrogen rate calculator, which gives MRTN rates, or maximum return to nitrogen rates, and that tool and those rates come from Midwest states, and the one I'm going to use is for Central Illinois, so that comes from the University of Illinois. But at an $1,100 price and a $5 corn price, the MRTN rate is 207 pounds of anhydrous ammonia. So if you're putting all your N on as anhydrous ammonia, you would be putting a 207 pounds of anhydrous ammonia, and that results in 170 pounds of actual N being applied. And that's the MRTN rates. Those are well below, like, for $500 price, which was what the price was last year, the MRTN in actual N terms is 200 pounds. So we're looking at application rates suggestions being 20 to 30 pounds lower in actual N rate. So yes, significantly lower rates. The other thing that we note is that many farmers apply above the MRTN rates. Our research from PCM would say that, close to 70% of farms apply above MRTN rates. And those, according to our research and other research as well, and the MRT tool, there's not a return to those higher rates. So the applying at those higher rates really becomes costly at these higher prices. So most farmers should be bringing down rates to those MRTN rate levels, which is probably pretty large declines in some places.
MRTN, by the way, stands for maximum return to N, or maximum return to nitrogen, MRTN. Those are the rates that can be found in the N-rate calculator. If you search Google for N-rate calculator, you'll find it. This is an Iowa State website, but it's fed by all of the university research done at land grants, specifically for their states. And then you mentioned Precision Conservation Management, or PCM. That's another website that you're involved with that's trying to figure out what the most profitable, I think, forms of conservation management might be as compared to other ways of farming. And that's at precisionconservation.org. So a lot of websites there. The important one, N-rate calculator, search for that, and Precision Conservation Management, you can search for that one too. I think the question farmers really want to know the answer to is, will the price of nitrogen be lower in the spring? Do you have a crystal ball?
I don't have a crystal ball, or one that is pretty cloudy. Usually we do see declines from spring to fall, but that's nowhere near. About 50% of the time, more than 50% of the time, the price goes up. This year, there's a huge incentive to get those supply problems fixed, and most likely they will. But you know, this is an unusual time with COVID and everything else that is going on, so you don't want to prejudge that situation. So we simply don't know. I would expect that they do get those plants get online, but again, we are in such an unusual place that you just simply don't know.
I know that you talked with Emerson Nafziger, extension agronomist here at the University of Illinois, about this article. I'm wondering whether the economics of nitrogen and the different forms of it suggest that you might want to consider urea or 28 or something other than anhydrous ammonia.
Yeah, so, well, I would, unfortunately, urea and 28%, their costs go up with nitrogen, and those two sources are usually more expensive than anhydrous ammonia, and putting a pounds of actual N on. And those differences between anhydrous ammonia and 28% and urea usually become larger with higher fertilizer prices. So we typically think that if you're putting everything on as anhydrous ammonia and you would switch it all over to 28%, that would typically cost you $20 more per acre. Now it's going to be $30 more. So if anything, you might... It suggests going back to anhydrous ammonia, but you know, if we have a lot of switches by farmers to anhydrous ammonia, we're going to have supply problems there as well. So over time, farmers might want to consider using anhydrous more than others, just simply because it's a more economical alternative.
Should farmers consider switching to soybeans?
You know, right now, the prices in fall bids still cause the corn and soybean profitability to be roughly equal. So, you know, there isn't a strong signal to switch to soybeans at this point in time. However, if you're putting on a nitrogen or have it purchased, I would suggest that you pre-harvest hedge some of that corn to sort of mitigate against the impacts of the higher prices, because we can get $5 corn prices now, which is well above average. Conversely, if you've decided I'm going to go more soybeans, because of this. I would also suggest that you lock in that price because the $12 soybean price is well above average as well. So I don't think there are large signals right now to make switches, but if you're going to make some switches, lock in the prices.
Wait, just for some quick clarification, from what date are you using anhydrous ammonia prices with that $5 corn that suggests it's all on equilibrium at the moment?
So that was as of today, and right now, let me rephrase it. Right now, you can get $5. You can in Central Illinois get $5 corn and $11.80 for soybeans.
As of October the 26th.
Both those prices are above average, obviously. So if we're going to make switches in acres, lock in some of those higher prices.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Gary Schnitke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Tell me a little bit about the weather we've had, what difference that's made in California and the West.
Well, it's going to make a big chunk out of the drought being taken. It's not going to end the drought by any means, but we had areas that exceeded 12 inches of rain across portions of Central and Northern California, and not just a little bit of snow in the Sierra Nevada, but feet of snow. They haven't seen a storm this strong since going back to 2019. And there's more coming. I think as we go into the month of November and into early December, the Western United States is going to see some more storminess. So it's all good news. Of course, it can be too much of a good thing all at once, but that's the way Mother Nature works. Never evens things out just the right way, but certainly this is going to be very helpful for the far western states.
In the Midwest Corn Belt, all the way from Nebraska to Ohio, farmers would like some drier conditions so they could get back in the field and finish up harvest. What do you see over the next several days?
Well, there's some good news and bad news. There is a little bit of a system that's basically the same storm that's hit California is going to come into the Midwest, and it's also going to produce some areas of showers and thunderstorms over some parts of the Corn Belt, especially some of the southern areas. We're going to see a pretty good low form across the northern part of the Delta, and this will get into some parts of the southern Corn Belt. The northern and northwest Corn Belt won't see as much. And then, Todd, we're going to be watching very carefully what is going to be probably the coldest wave of the year so far, move in towards the first few days of November out of west central Canada and into the middle part of the U.S. This could bring freezing temperatures to some parts of the northern and western Corn Belt as early as Tuesday or Wednesday night of next week.
Well, we'll check with you on Tuesday of next week to see how that pans out. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.